Welcome back, guys. This is Nick. How are you? This is going to be our first Creative Course episode. And our first topic is branding. And we are going to put together a small course of 4 to 5 different episodes in the future here. And it's going to be broken up into small little segments, taking you through the process of how me and other designers do the branding process. I'm bringing in a fantastic guy, a good friend of mine, Jordan Wilson. Him and I are going to be taking you through our process. We're going to compare notes. We're going to talk a little bit this time on discovery and everything we do up front. What questions we ask the client, how do we walk them through the process to ensure that before we do any design, we are set up properly. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks so much.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. Have you had enough coffee?
Yeah, I've had 2 shots of espresso already this morning.
I knew you were like related to me, dude.
Nice, man. How you doing?
Good, good, man. Yeah, I've got a little like iced mocha thing going on too. So
there we go. Yes.
That nice time where you can transition to the iced drinks and still load it up with like 3 shots. I love
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It's got, well, since I got that espresso machine, like, I drink more coffee than I ever have, which was already a lot.
I know it's deadly. And I have about 5 different methods of making coffee right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because you have to keep it interesting because you drink so much of it.
Like, that's we have a problem.
I know.
Are you ready to dive into this?
Yeah, man. Let's hit it.
Perfect, dude. I think it's, if you like this new outline, we'll start there because I think this is a great way to introduce it and talk about phase, let's call this phase 1 of branding. And I love that, you know, you brought up the idea that we could do this in a way where it's almost like a course. And if we do this in 3 or 4 parts, what excites me the most is that we can talk about this one, this first phase, like breaking down the brand, and you're not even talking about design yet.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I think that is the part that probably gets glossed over the most, but I think it's probably the most important part of any brand, right?
Yeah.
Defining what it is.
And so diving into it, like, and let's compare notes, because I think this would be really great for anybody listening. Totally. I think maybe you're the same. I've compiled this from just talking with other people and hearing multiple ways of how people get into discovery and putting together a brand and made it my own. So like when it comes to this first thing, and let's say you've landed a new branding logo job, what questions do you ask?
So, you know, right at the start, it depends on where the client is, right? Sometimes they have like some core values or an idea of what the brand could be, but always I try to define, you know, the messaging first, and like questions like that are going to relate to sort of, you know, what does your business product do? Great.
Yeah.
What is important? How do you do it? Is also important, but the biggest question I think is the why.
Mm-hmm.
I think like I'm doing a cidery right now, and the best example is like, you know, the what is, well, we're a small quality focused cidery. Awesome.
Yeah.
The how would be like, well, how we do that is we use like traditional brewing methods and create like the perfect, authentic, delicious apple cider.
Okay.
Sure. But the why could be like, well, maybe, you know, my grandfather owned an apple orchard and I remember growing up running through the apple orchard and making applesauce with my grandma. Like there's something more in there that can make the story, that can make the brand. So typically I ask the what, the how, and the why, but I want to focus on the why more than anything else.
Good.
You know?
And what a great way to tie it into something that someone could connect to. So if it's a memory or something from the past, that instantly to me starts singing louder, clearer than just being like something that any other brand can be. And I think I've always noticed too, when I'm talking with my clients in this stage, is that sometimes they don't have it yet. And it's up to us to pull it out and find that way of that really, that cool little nugget that we could say. And what, like one of the best things I always ask, and it's kind of at the end of part one of my questionnaire, but it's like, just tell me, what is the coolest thing about your brand? Like, what did
That question is awesome.
You know, like, what did you, why are you doing this? Like, give me, you know, don't, and then the best tip too is don't just ask it in a questionnaire, do it in a discussion. Like if you could be live one-on-one, great. If you can't, be more on the phone with them or in some way, or Skyping, where you can ask them that point blank. Yep. And really dig deep. And you, I think you have a perfect example of that, just saying like, it reminds me of being a child and being in the orchards and this and that. And like all of a sudden now everyone can capture that. You know?
Well, and that's what's going to make them unique, right? Like I work a lot in UDT in the craft beer industry, and there's so many, and there's everyone's like, you know, well, I stand for quality and local ingredients, but it's like that everyone does. That's a baseline and should be a baseline. I think it's great that we've gotten there, but there's nothing unique about that.
Yeah.
And so trying to figure out what the story is, well, that is going to have to do with, you know, who they are and why they're doing it and what they believe and, you know, their purpose.
Yep.
It takes a while. I mean, the beginning is a lot of exploration, but it's fun. But I think too often not the designer, you know, at least when I first started and I fell snare to this too. It's like I glossed over this part.
Oh, you know? Totally. Me too.
Because I wanted to get right to like, well, let's talk about logo and taglines. But that stuff comes so much later.
Yeah.
And it's all built on this. Like, if you don't have a good foundation, like, the house is going to crumble, you know?
That's exactly it. And then also, too, the more you do this up front, I'm a firm believer that you will find you'll be much more targeted and focused once you hit the canvas. And you're not exploring 40 things. You're exploring 3 or 4 things. And then, I think in my case too, I think you could probably relate is you, even when you're showing a much more focused results at the phase one to a client, they're so engaged because it goes from everything that they've helped cultivate when it comes to all of this data.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that is also part of it too. It's like, well, you know, when you do this kind of stuff, you're often not working with newer clients. And so you have to explain like the importance of this. And so if you don't yourself know that, then they won't know that either. Or if you gloss it over, they're like, yeah, of course we'll gloss that over. But it's so imperative. I mean, it's the core of everything.
Yeah.
It's the baseline of what the brand's going to be known for and how you're going to make your decisions and why you choose what you choose. And it is crucial to any good brand that wants to stand the test.
Totally. And you know, when you get into a, let's say, the client has a bit of a deer in headlights because maybe they've never gone through this process before.
Sure.
And, you know, we have. I think you brought up a good point there is when they can't think of something, what I usually ask them, I say, stop right now and look at everything you have in your possession, anything you've bought or purchased, and tell me why you bought that brand. What
oh, made yeah.
it? And then all of a sudden they're like, they get why they choose this coffee brand over this coffee brand or, you know, whatever, even down to what phone you buy. And so if there's something there that helps bring out their own little unique, you know, advantage and why it should be there and be taking notes, because I'm telling you, if you're not capturing this, wow. I saw your capture. I think that you posted a while back and it reminded me of my process as well. That same idea of like, maybe even record it. I mean, why not? You've got the tools with you, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. All I do is take notes, you know, every email, every call, like, because there could be a nugget in there that like, there it is. That's what I need. That's the, you know, last piece of this puzzle.
Yes.
Or I can build off that.
Yes.
Because ultimately, you know, you're trying to figure out who they are and how to actually visually represent that.
Yeah. Do you ask like priority? Like, let's say you've kind of gone through these, your questionnaires and what does your brand stand for? And we'll get into a lot more of that. But like, do you ask, like, I always ask too, like, okay, if you can just narrow it down and what's the one most important thing that the logo and the brand has to say, and maybe that's something you can work in conjunction with them. I think, you know, this is a good maybe segue into how much we as the designer want to contribute.
Yes.
So it's not just us recording everything they say. How do you guide them? Like, what do you do to help like push them in the right direction?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think it's us challenging them to dig deep into who they are, be self-aware as a company, you know?
Yeah.
And think about things that they probably wouldn't have. Like, that's our job. And it takes, I mean, starting out as a designer, you might not realize, like, they're hiring you to actually lead them for this.
Yeah.
It might not seem like, well, I'm not branding or I'm not, like, putting a color palette. Like, no, you're actually, you're shaping their business with them and you're pulling out the best that you can. And then from there, then I can help, you know, create a story, like a driven storyline or better messaging or points of view. I try to get the best questions out of them, but I am always helping shape what that is.
Yeah.
As, you know, as a brand designer.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get you. And then when it comes to building this, like your brand messaging, is that your next, what's your next task after getting everything together?
Yeah. I mean, so it's pretty much, yeah, starts with sort of the big layouts, and then the purpose, why you exist, your vision, what you aim to achieve. The mission is how do you plan to achieve your vision? And then, you know, I get into like the promise, what's your value, and credibility, which is huge. Like, why are you the person to, you know, fix what's wrong? You know, yes. Why is your brand here? Why you?
Yes.
We'll get into the brand story, and it's just about finding, you know, that unique hero tale. And we'll dig deeper. From there, then, you know, I focus on brand positioning and the brand voice.
Yep.
And personality. And then it's just building. It's building every layer.
Yeah. And I love, look, sometimes they get my questionnaire and they're like, everything you asked for, isn't it kind of the same thing? Story, POV, you know, what's this brand positioning statement? Why? And I love it too. Then I had another client who actually came to me once and said, oh, we were working with this marketing team and they were talking brand positioning statement. I'm like, yeah, we do that. I can do that with you too. This is how we do it. Right. And then,
yes.
And I think our biggest goal as designers is to show that we can be more than just the puppet designer.
That's everything. Yeah, right? Man.
Yeah. Let us help you take this out. And then guess what? Who's the best person to deliver that design that you've, you know, is us. And like,
exactly.
Why use two different sources when like we can do it all? I think, and I love when I see young designers and particularly students getting that message now. Cause man, I didn't get that in any way. My feeling was like you go and you're a designer and the work's handed to you. And especially in your first few years of your career. So I'm glad we can kind of, you know, help anyone. Cause this to me is something that everyone should be doing when it comes to, I don't care what creative process or job you're doing, what project it is, this stuff at the beginning makes for such a better end result.
And oh yeah.
One of the best things I love doing is asking them about adjectives. Like if you were to describe your company, you know, your brand and the personality. And again, this is another part where you can maybe contribute a little and tell them what your maybe your view of it is after a little bit of a deep dive. But if you say, hey, are you a stubborn company? Like, I love like that stubborn soda company, right? Like they just, how fun they are. Like, yeah, let's just use the word stubborn. Like it makes sense. But like, are you romantic? Are you ironic? Is your company ambitious? Like ask those questions about particular words that are a little more. Yeah. Like you said earlier, everybody wants high quality. Everybody wants, craft now in a way, but dig a little deeper. Like, what is it? Because then that becomes how your company talks. What's the voice?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how's the copy written? Like one of my clients wanted to even be like a little bit more authoritative in their brand positioning. And so we've taken that every time we even write a headline for a social media post, it better be a little on the authoritative side, like a little bit more like it's giving an order. Doesn't that?
Yeah, man.
And that's where copy and all these other things start playing into our role even more.
Yes. I mean, and it is like you touched on earlier, the client's like, well, these all kind of sound the same, but you know, you can explain the difference and you need to know the difference of like, you know, your personality. That's like how the brand is going to present itself. That's figuring out the brand. And I like to think of it as, you know, if the brand is a breathing person, you know, then who are they?
Yes.
Like, are they male? Are they female? Are they young, old? Are they blue collar, highbrow, whatever it is?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you want to start listing off character traits for the brand.
Exactly.
Are they fun? Are they serious, confident, stoic, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And so I have them list off character traits. I'll have them list off like, all right, we're building an actual person. Who are they?
Yep.
And, you know, I try to boil it down to like 3 to 8.
Yeah.
It can get out of hand. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, less is more. Like, less they're going to actually, like, use and remember. But then once we have a list of character traits, I like to ask them, I have them write out and define, like, is this personality true? Are all these traits relative, you know?
Yep.
Do they help differentiate? And then, like, little paragraphs on each one and how it works. So they can't just, you know, I don't like it when they just write out adjectives. They need to dig deeper. Ask them to dig deeper.
Put a sentence together.
Yeah, exactly. And explain the why.
Yeah.
you know, what they mean to you and how they apply to the brand.
One of the
why they matter.
Yeah. Because you're right. Words like floating, hey, they might be great for us when we're designing and getting into the grit of the design work. And I love to have them. And I think you do the same. Like I put them all over my workspace to make sure that I'm reminded of all those things. But the sentence and a story, like that helps build some story once you get into that zone. And one of the other things I've been putting into this phase too is, and this came from a student, a dude I met at Adobe Max last year. And he was a huge fan of that book, The Archetypes of Branding.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, I bought that book because first thing I'll do is I'll buy a book just because I'm like, yeah, I got to add it to my library. But how many am I really reading, right?
Yeah.
And one day I landed this pretty big thing over the last 6 months, and I figured out, like, let me open this thing up and crack it open. And it was kind of an evolution for me to start thinking about the brand as an archetype. And like, as an example, one of the ones we use for the brewery that we're working on currently right now is they're the liberator. And this book gives you pages of document and info on what a liberator is like.
Yeah. Right?
What's their attitude? You know, they don't stand for the status quo. They want to break boundaries and, you know, all these great things. And all of a sudden, if you bring that kind of those little bits of info and trait attitude and attributes from that archetype to the client, they start melting. They're just like, this is amazing. And I gotta tell you, I've been using it ever since, and I think it's one of the best added tools I've been using, you know.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just about shaping a blank canvas, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out who they are, and all these tools are gonna help do that. You know, and I think, you know, from there, it's like, then you get to the core values. And I think the core values kind of are the true guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, and I find more often than not, and why they take so long is because I think the client, you know, sort of starts out putting words that they think the customer wants them to and not necessarily who they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and it takes a while for them to get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I know and a lot of people start with the core values, but I kind of want to do that a little bit later once we define more, because by that time, they're kind of understanding, like, okay, I don't have to be this, like, on-page perfect company. I need to figure out who I am.
Yeah. Are your core values more of a, like, and give me a few examples, too. Are they more of, like, a list of the commandments of the brand? Like, how do you...
Totally, yeah. Like, I think I usually, you know, I have them list out just anything and everything. Like, that's the first part of the process. You know, maybe it could be 25 to 50 values. And then we'll look at them together and we'll start to, you know, now that we have some story in the background, now we have a voice, we're kind of understanding who the brand is.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to figure out, well, do these actually work? What does it sound like? How does it actually apply to the brand? And so with this giant list, and also you can start to combine them.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of them I find are going to overlap.
I
try to narrow it down to like 3 to 8 values.
Perfect.
Just kind of like the character traits, because I think, well, you know, it'll make it easier to remember and more easy to live by.
Yes.
Because if you don't take the core values seriously within the business, then they're useless. They don't mean anything. They have to be things that you're going to do.
Yes.
Every decision. Like, okay, I want to buy, or I want to paint this color. Like, well, does that work with my value? Or I want to, whatever it is, build a website out like this where I'm going to stick to core values and figure out who we are. Like,
yeah,
a good example is, instead of transparency, which is everyone uses mm-hmm. transparency, I like show people, not tell people, right? Like,
there you go.
And that is sort of the same thing, but it's more unique. Like, maybe instead of just being open book, they explain their reasoning, or they give examples of things, or they show way behind the curtains and do like series of, this is how we bottle the cider and this is what's in it, yada yada. Questionnaires, like, it's a core value that you can live your business by, that is transparency.
And it could almost be subconscious too, in a way where you deliver, let's say you're showing more visuals and things of the behind mm-hmm. the scenes, rather than putting it, you know, like, you know, in headline, in copy, in voice.
But
it's then the consumer, because one of the best things too is like keeping the consumer in mind all the time. Like, and I think too, like, you want to find out who the brand has an archetype, but so does the consumer and that customer, that fan that you want to, you know. Years ago at an agency of mine that I worked at for years, Burger King was our biggest client, and Burger King referred to their consumer as the super fan. Like, that's all they shot for.
Uh-huh.
If we get him or her, perfect. Like, yeah. Everything else will follow. And in fact, in meetings and in decks and everything, it was always called the super fan.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a smart way to think about it, because, you want those passionate people behind you. I think nowadays, man, it's so sad to walk into even a mall and you see stores and places that have been there for years just shutting down. And look at Toys R Us. Like,
yeah,
what did they stand for? Who were they? They don't even make product. They're just the retailer. And what a missed opportunity that they could have been. There could have been a voice. There could have been, all these things we're talking about could have been the experience. They could have just killed it on the fact that come here and play. Where else can you do that?
Yeah.
Can't do that on Amazon.
Selling the wrong experience. Like, especially nowadays, like, look, as consumers, like, we're being marketed everywhere we go, everywhere we look. We're so just absorbed and just crashed down with all these things.
Yeah.
And they're trying to sell something. So that strategy is, like, not going to work. People don't buy a product. They buy an experience nowadays, and they buy, like, credibility.
Yeah. Right?
Like, oh, I choose them because this isn't this. And so I think Kodak's a good example of, they went bankrupt because they thought they were in the business for selling cameras, but they were in the business for, like, capturing a moment, and they really didn't understand. Oh,
are you going to bring up Mad Men? Well. Is that not the best?
It's so good.
I mean, the carousel.
Yeah.
I mean, I show that 3-minute clip to my class the first day.
Yeah.
Because it is so smart the way he's like, you're not selling a rotating wheel with pictures. You're selling nostalgia. And he goes, like, our heart aches to go back. And I'm like, you're crying. You're like, that is, man. Oh, young creatives, watch that show. I just, there's something so amazing.
It's, yeah, man, it's excellent. But yeah.
Oh, I think that was great. I just got a phone call through here. I knew that was going to happen. But going back to what I was saying, it was like, when I remember seeing it, and my dad was kind of in that world when he was a young guy, first few years of working as an architect and everything, and in a creative world, I used to watch Mad Men and go, wow, that's kind of what the old ad agencies used to do. They would get this brand positioning statement signed by the client. And guess what? That's where creative followed.
Yeah.
And it was so neat that they brought that back into the picture. And that's when I really kind of said, wow, we got to do this as a team. And it makes so much sense now for us to do this,
And it just makes everything easier down the line. Like, and man, I learned this the hard way many times starting out. Like, okay, I don't have any of this core information. They said they need a logo and this is the company. And so what do you do as a designer? Like, you have to have some sort of inspiration. So maybe it's going online and looking at what the competition does. Maybe it's, this is trending now. Like, you end up with just something that's so loose and not to the brand that it's not going to last. Like, that's how you're going to get stuck in, like, deep trends, like 2018 trends, whatever it is, because you're not building off of anything.
No.
You're building off of nothing. And ultimately, like, your brand will stand for nothing if things aren't defined.
I know. And it's hard because it's like, we got to turn that stuff off when we're in this zone, because yes, it's great to get influence and it's great to see what's truly working and what's not. Mm-hmm. But again, let this treat each one so independently that it gets the customized, individual and unique flavor that it deserves,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, it is a lot of work in the back end, but it's so rewarding once you actually start to get to the designs.
You
have guidelines, and if you choose something, well, there's a reason behind that, and ultimately the client gets it as well. You're not just shooting them over the first batch of sketch ideas, and they have no idea where you're going with it. You know what I mean? It takes less explanation. You're like, all right, well, we're building off our story and here's why this works.
Yes.
And it just, as a creative, like, it's so good to have guidelines and ideas, because otherwise you're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So we've got all this together and we put everything like in plain sight. I like to, like I said, put it everywhere when I'm putting together that final kind of pitch to them as what this piece is going to be. And I think mm-hmm. it all ends with that brand mission statement, brand mm-hmm. positioning statement. And I think it's a smart way to try to, and it's a tough way to consolidate all that down into one sentence.
Oh my God.
What do you strive for when you're putting together that mission statement for the client?
Well, obviously it has to be encompassing, right?
Yeah.
And we'll go through many drafts because again, it's gotta be something to live by. And if it's just loose words and, you know, trigger words, like, yeah, it might sound great, but if it's not true to them and it's not who they are and what they're going to do day to day, then what's the point, you know? And so I think that along with core values, like, we're going to refine that until it can be something short that they can memorize and that it's unique to them. It's not just all encompassing. And it's something that they can actually live by. And so we're going to take it, you know, we're going to write it 100 different ways if we need to.
Yep.
But it's all about stressing that importance up front so they understand, you know, the weight of it like we do.
Yeah. And what I usually kind of zero in on, and I think it's the hardest part too, but once you get there, it pays off for these next phases that we'll explore in the upcoming episodes. But for mm-hmm. me, it's who's your target consumer?
Make sure they're listed. The brand persona. Right. That's right. Yeah.
And then what is that advantage that you bring over anybody else that might be in this wheelhouse or in this industry? Because I think you got to say, like, you're bringing this customer this advantage over anybody else. As long as you start there, you can't go wrong. Because I think you're always building it off the fact that you're unique, you're different, and then, oh man, once we get into talking about design, then it falls into place almost naturally because there's only one thing to really, you know, try to explore and create visually. Right.
Oh, yeah. The target audience thing, and we gloss over a little bit, but the importance of that is actually, it is huge. Like, who are you talking to?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And trying to define that, I think, is really hard for startups because maybe they don't have a current customer base or, you know, they haven't done a lot of research. And so then it's just like, okay, well, let's make it up. Like, who are you guys personally? Why do you choose what you're choosing competitors? Like, let's figure out who we're selling to. Because ultimately, like, no, you can't sell to everyone as a brand. That's not how it works.
It's
not, you know, which seems disheartening. But yeah, if you try to sell to everyone, then you're selling to no one. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be watered down.
You're going to be vanilla.
exactly. It's not going to work. So trying to figure out, exactly who it is you're selling to and how you're going to do that and who your target audience is crucial.
And do you ever have pushback, or what are some challenges that pop up here that, and maybe a way around it? Because I think if you're trying this out for the first time, and hopefully people will give this a shot if they've never done it, what are some tips you find that make it a little bit, let's say, not easier, but like helps the client understand a little bit better that
this is a touchy subject, right? Where it's like, When I usually get the same reaction, and I try to be, you know, more coddling than I am now, but it's like, you know, they always like, well, we want to be inclusive. Well, okay, that's good. Definitely set out to have like more people try to buy your product. That's awesome. But it's also important to realize like your audience isn't everyone and it cannot be. And so trying to get them to understand by you telling your, you know, compelling story through this brand, through your positioning, it's going to connect with a certain type of person. And that's what you want. Like, if you do it right, that person will become, you know, your fan and your evangelist. And like, they're going to sell your product like that. You want fans, and you don't want to just be a blanket that people, they're great, they're fine, they're forgettable.
Yeah.
And so the challenge is trying to get them to understand, like, you know, if like I use a cider, cause I'm doing a cidery right now, but if it interests like a 55-year-old, you know, that a seasoned brewer or whatever it is, it might not resonate with a 22-year-old woman. So, like, who is your audience? Who are you, and who are you going to sell to? Because ultimately, again, I want to figure out who they are as a company and as a brand and as people who own this brand that are going to run it. Their target audience oftentimes is going to be like who they are, right? Like, they're trying to find people similar that hold their own values and their own visions, and that they connect with.
Yeah. But amazing.
Yeah.
And my best thing I will tell anybody is if you do this, go through it that one time, it might be, there's a learning curve, obviously, only with them, but with you, because it's a new thing and you got to get comfortable at being a marketer and a salesperson in the same way you are as a designer, but it will come back the same. I love that you said, you know, it's building the right customer and they'll come back for more, but it's also building a great client that will come back for more and will speak your and praise you to others. And there's that referral thing. So like, the more we shine in that way, these are those clients that are going to, you know, value you even more and will want the broader picture from you and the broader spectrum, not just do a logo and then you never hear from them again. That's, you know, it's up to us to be the proactive ones.
That's what they're hiring us for, you know, and for the experience of doing something like this. And even this day and age, like, you do all this stuff, but you also have to, you know, sort of have them understand, like, all this is important. We have to do it. But at the end of the day, it's also the consumers that are in control. And they're going to talk about your brand, whether you're involved in that conversation or not. And so sometimes it's hard to keep control. And if, you know, they shape the brand just as much as anyone else once you start putting yourself out there more.
Exactly.
But if you're staying true to yourself, they're going to tell your story.
And they'll be more confident. Giving
them, they'll tell it.
Yeah, they'll be more confident with it too. I think you get a less of that, like, ooh, I'm a little, I don't know about this ad. Does this make sense? Whatever. And as long as it follows everything you've done at the beginning, then they got the confidence to put it out there and be like, yeah, that's who we are.
Yeah.
Damn right. You know?
Yeah.
It's a win-win, man. It really is. So,
yeah, man.
I love this talk. We haven't even talked the thing about design. It's more about the stuff up front. Yes. And we'll continue this conversation with the next step and hopefully put together a fun little session and course here that will help everybody to get into branding and really breaking it down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Dude, you're a beast, brother.
Likewise, man.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. This is fun. Thanks, bud.